Now we said at the start of our series on spiritual disciplines that the words spiritual and discipline are two words which don't normally seem to go together. Sometimes we might think of a spirited person as someone who is very expressive, full of energy and enthusiasm. And the word discipline doesn't often line up with that kind of personality. They're two words that seem a contradiction when placed together. Spiritual and discipline. But that's what we've been looking at this term. Spiritual disciplines. Because spiritual disciplines matter to the Christian life. We're afraid of the idea of discipline at times, especially in this day and age when we want to avoid legalism. Generations before us were big on discipline, much bigger than we are today. Previous generations went through the Great Depression, one or two world wars. Life for them demanded discipline. But often it came at the cost of relationship. Many experienced discipline as suppressing feelings, not being open about what people thought or felt. And we also know that true spirituality needs to be genuine. The gospel needs to be authentically at work in our lives. Religion can look disciplined without having that reality. And so we associate true spirituality sometimes with spontaneity. It's a relationship with God, a response to what God has done for us, a life driven by enthusiasm, gratitude, and sincere obedience. However, living God's way just isn't natural for us. It doesn't come naturally to us. The Bible tells us this. Lots of passages urge us to live the Christian life. They assume that it'll take effort to do so. It's going to take effort for us to turn away from sin. The first letter we have from Peter in chapter 2, he urges Christians to abstain from sinful desires. In chapter 8 of Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, he urges them to put to death the misdeeds of the body. So it takes effort to stop sinning, and obedience requires effort too. Paul writes to Timothy to train himself to be godly in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. In chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, he urges him to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. See, these things don't just happen. They must be sought after and pursued. It's the same in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 5, he says, follow God's example and walk in the way of love. It's a decision that Christians have to make. It's not something we just fall into. True Christian spirituality involves self-discipline. Christian living, as we know, takes effort. And so, at the end of our series today, we're now looking at the spiritual discipline of thanksgiving. It turns out thanksgiving is a great place to finish on, to finish our series, because of the spiritual disciplines we've been talking about so far. This kind of rounds them all together. All the ways that God is at work in our lives, I've been amazed and challenged at how such a variety of spiritual disciplines that we've looked at all go hand in hand with each other. Prayer goes with Bible reading, goes with, you know, the Lord's Supper, goes with singing. They all work together to grow us in our faith and trust in God, growing us in our relationship with Him. Now, we might think that thanksgiving for all of these things should be spontaneous for everything that we have in Jesus. It should be a natural consequence of the gospel. We always emphasize how godly living for Christians should arise from thankfulness for God's gracious gift. We're not concerned about earning our way into heaven. But unfortunately, our experience tells us that we're not particularly good at giving thanks. We're slow to recognise the good things we're given at times. We don't show thankfulness. We don't practice thanksgiving as much as we should. So let's take a look at thanksgiving today. And especially let's focus on how the gospel shapes Christian thanksgiving. We won't give thanks well without the gospel. And the ability to be thankful is driven by what the gospel's doing in our life. Just to remind ourselves one last time, every talk in our series this term has had three parts. What we think we're doing with this spiritual discipline, what we're actually doing when we read in God's word what it's about, and then what we might do in practice to live it out in our lives. So each time we've been recognising some of the things we get wrong about each spiritual discipline, the things we think we're doing, then we go to the Bible and understand what the discipline looks like, what we're actually doing when it arises from God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus. And finally, we're considering some of the possible ways of putting the spiritual discipline into practice, the things we might choose to do. Of course, as we've said, everyone's different. The way that people practice spiritual disciplines changes with our age, with our life stage, the time and place that we live in. But hopefully there's wisdom to gain from each other here. Wisdom to gain from people in the past, and that will give us ideas for practices we might want to explore and take up in our daily walk with Jesus. So my prayer, our prayer to round out this term, is that we might find one or two practices re-entering our lives. Maybe just one for the first time, for example, that will draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Remembering that the only power for being changed comes from God working in our hearts. We'll only change if God is at work. So let's begin by thinking, what are we doing when we practice thanksgiving? First thing I think of is giving thanks at meals. Like some of the kids said this morning, saying grace in some families, this is what it's called. It's a good practice, a good habit at every meal, remembering that God has provided it for us. Maybe even reflecting on all the other good things that God has provided for us that day. Another practice we might think of is Thanksgiving, the holiday, an American tradition, if you like, which for some reason involves eating a turkey. It's their annual holiday. It's called Thanksgiving, where they stop and they give thanks for all that they have, just one day of the year. But they're especially thankful for family. But I'm sure you've possibly told this to your kids. Meals aren't the only time we thank God. And certainly one day of Thanksgiving a year is probably not enough. In the Bible, you get the sense that we're supposed to be thankful all the time. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. When Christians are gathering together, we're to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a modern practice out there that you might have heard about. It's called the attitude of gratitude. You may or may not have heard about this on social media. 30 days of gratitude. People put up posts of, you know, 30 days of things that they are thankful for, recognising something that they're grateful for in their life each and every day. I think there's a picture there, Harry. I'm not sure See it there. Oh, yes, there it is. Now, this is a good idea, perhaps. It may even be a practice that Christians might take up. But we have to ask, what's the goal in putting up 30 pictures over a month of things that you're thankful for? Some common reasons for doing this are, it's about building resilience, reducing depression, perhaps. It's about displacing negative thoughts in your life and replacing them with positive ones. But is that God's reason for calling us to thankfulness? Well, no. What Christians are actually doing is thanking God. It begins with an obligation we all have. Whether we're Christian or not, we should give thanks to God for everything. Every good thing we experience or receive comes from our Lord. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. God provides everything good, and so he deserves our thanks. In fact, without thanksgiving, good gifts aren't actually good. What Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is essential for keeping good gifts good. We all know the way that a gift can be soured when it's not received well, when the person isn't grateful. When they don't acknowledge our love, our care in giving them the gift. In fact, a lack of faithfulness, a lack of thankfulness is at the heart of sin. That's what Romans chapter 1 tells us. Paul starts his letter explaining why every human being is facing God's judgment. And the reason is thanklessness. It says there in verse 21, for though they knew God, that's us as well, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. You hear that? They neither glorified him nor gave thanks. But their thinking became futile and foolish hearts were darkened. See, we can be guilty of this, can't we? Not only does it say that we can be thankless there, but in verse 23, we thank other things. We give credit to other things instead of God. God provides the gifts, but we attribute these good things to our idols instead. The people, the powers that we think are providing for us. Verse 23, we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Ever heard somebody thank Mother Nature or something like that instead of God? You see the problem here. Our lack of thanksgiving is evidence of our sin. It's one way, a significant way, that we express our rejection of God. And so it's serious. We're all facing God's judgment for it. That's what Paul says here. Suddenly we realize part of the power of this spiritual discipline and of all the spiritual disciplines is that it reveals how much we need the gospel. It's not enough to just fix our thanksgiving. There's a deep heart problem here that causes our thanklessness. And we need forgiveness before we can even start to change. This is something that's been true of every discipline we've been looking at. They're disciplines of grace. That is, they're disciplines, but they're ones that throw us back upon the mercy of God, back to depending on Him. These are practices we pursue that remind us how much we need God working in us to change us. See, simply working hard at these ourselves isn't enough, because God's blessing, if you like, doesn't depend on our performance. Whether you've had a really good day, you're feeling confident and positive at the end of it, you know, that kind of day where there's a real sense of achievement. You've got done the things that you want to get done. You're very confident that God will bless you this day. Or, the opposite end of the spectrum, you might have had a rotten day. Nothing went as planned, and you're not expecting God to bless you in any way, shape, or form. Well, neither one will determine or impact how much God is prepared to bless you in Christ. You're one of His children, one of His chosen ones. He's not going to bless you any less or any more than He's already determined to do. Do you feel that? Can you sense that mistake that we often make? We think that how our day has gone, or our part, our activity, somehow will make God bless us more. We think spiritual disciplines influence God's treatment of us, that we'll be more able to serve Him or more likely to receive His blessing. But the gospel, the good news about Jesus, tells us the only way we receive relationship with God is through Christ. The only power I have to serve Him comes from His gift, the Holy Spirit. Every blessing I receive from God comes to me through Jesus. So what is the spiritual discipline of thanksgiving actually about? Well, it's not just seeing what I have, but it's becoming more aware of what God has given me. It's about seeing God's generosity in Jesus, in the gospel. That should become the center, the very center of my thanksgiving. Consider what we read this morning in the Bible, what Ben read for us there in Colossians chapter 1. Paul is telling the Colossian Christians what he prays for them regularly. See, Paul hasn't been to Colossae. They've heard the gospel through a man by the name of Epaphras. Paul's only heard about them from prison, where he's locked up and in chains for the gospel. But one of the things he's praying for the Colossian Christians, he's looking for them to experience joyful thankfulness. It's one of the four fruits he wants to see borne out in their lives. But what is going to produce that thankfulness? Well, back in verse 9, it says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will." See that? He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. And then he lists four key ways. One is bearing fruit in good works. Two is growing in our knowledge of God. Three is strength for endurance. And then in verse 11, thankfulness that they are a part of God's kingdom. What is it that will produce such thankfulness? Well, it's knowing God's will for our lives, knowing God's plan. That's when we'll know what pleases God. What is it? What is God's will for us? It's to be rescued by Jesus. It's to become more like Jesus. That's God's will for us in Christ. So what are we saying? The spiritual discipline of thankfulness begins with being thankful for the gospel. It begins with realizing my sin. It begins with realizing how much I don't deserve the things that God blesses me with. And then the spiritual discipline of thankfulness discovers all God's riches that he's lavished upon me. Salvation, righteousness, godliness, and a place in heaven. These are all mine in Jesus. And so being thankful for him is what this spiritual discipline is all about. So what might we do? How might we respond to this in our lives? If it's not 30 days of gratitude, what could the spiritual discipline of thankfulness look like? Well, it could be 30 days of gratitude, but the difference might be where you look. Maybe, yes, for a month, notice the good things in your life, the experiences, the family, the friendship. But don't just be encouraged, be humbled by the ways that God has blessed you. Remind yourselves that these blessings are undeserved. The very fact that you had to go looking shows that you underestimate God's generosity. So maybe spend another 30 days going through the scriptures. Be encouraged by reading things like Psalm 150 that we read this morning. As we've seen, you could sing songs of praise and thankfulness. You could put Bible verses on Facebook instead of pictures of people and things in your life. You could discover blessings that you've forgotten about, blessings you've been taking for granted. Remind yourself of how God has blessed you in Jesus. We are children of God, princes and princesses in his kingdom, dearly loved, washed clean, and destined for holiness. So many things we can be thankful for, but they're blessings we can easily forget. Likewise, you might include things when you say grace at the table. We can thank God for our day, but thank him for the ways he's blessing us spiritually. Maybe even, you know, a different list each week of people to focus on in your church family who God has blessed you in relationship with. Remember all that we have that we can give thanks for. That's just a few things that we might do. But the key is that thanksgiving is not about you. Don't be focused on the things that you have or don't have. But the greatest source of thankfulness is the gospel. It's God's generosity to us in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your many blessings, but particularly the way that you have blessed us in Christ Jesus. We want to thank you that we have salvation, righteousness, godliness, and a place with you in heaven forevermore. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what awaits us in your good and perfect plan. Lord, help us to trust you in what you have blessed us with. Help us to see and be just overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness. Lord, we just thank you again for all that we have in Jesus. Help us to encourage each other in our faith and our trust in you. And we thank you for this spiritual discipline in Jesus' name. Amen.